Dr. Eileen Marty is an infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University. She joins us every Wednesday at this time. Dr. Marty, good morning. Let's talk first about the new federal screening guidance that expands cervical cancer testing. What do you know about this?
Oh, quite a lot. I actually was very much involved in some of the early testing of the validity of using this type of testing in poor areas, including in South Africa. So this is a wonderful advancement for women because this is a test that really isn't what's done at home is the collecting of the sample. And this is particularly important for women who are shy and don't want to, you know, undergo the usual process by which we used to do the screening, you know, being up in the stirrups, etc. You know, and of course, this includes people with certain religious perspectives, etc. And you're still going to be able to do the test. Now, I think it's really important that people realize that what this is testing for is a virus. And specifically, what we're testing for is human papillomavirus. Now, the what we know today is that roughly 50% of cervical cancers are caused by one particular type of alpha papillomavirus, the human papillomavirus 16. If you add up the other types of human papillomaviruses that cause cancer, you'll find that this test is going to be able to detect a whole bunch of them. The current test doesn't just detect HPV 16. It also looks at genetic. So this is ultimately a genetic test that looks at HPV 16, HPV 18, which is also incredibly important, because together they account for about 70%, HPV 31, 33, 45, 52, 58, et cetera. So you're really capturing a very high percentage. And what's really interesting about these at-home tests is that when compared to the old-fashioned scraping the cervix, putting it on a slide, and looking at it, the sensitivity and specificity is very comparable. So, and in some ways, it's actually higher sensitivity, so that you're actually capturing it better, because, of course, these PCR tests are extremely useful. Now, having said that, I am compelled to discuss another area of great interest to me, and that is the fact that we have wonderful vaccines against HPV today, right? Mm-hmm. The HPV9, which it has been available now for many years, vaccine captures all the key types of the most important, the most common types of HPVs that cause cervical cancer. So part of the reason that we need the screening is the fact that people aren't taking that vaccine, and that's incredibly frustrating. Now, the truth is you still need this kind of screen because there are a few very uncommon causes of cervical cancer by very uncommon types of HPV, right, that are not covered in the vaccine. So the vaccine is going to protect you for over 90% of the HPVs that cause it. But, you know, there's still a small percentage that could be caused otherwise. So no matter what, this at-home HPV self-collection test is a wonderful idea, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, and the option is going to be covered by private insurance, they say, beginning next January. So
that's right.
That is good news.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you know what? That's also going to reduce costs overall for everybody because they don't have to go to a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the whole thing is just much more comfortable, and it works very, very well.
Do you connect the outbreak of the measles and also we have more flu than ever now to the fact that fewer people are getting vaccinated?
There's absolutely no question about it. The data is crystal clear. The vast majority of the people who have gotten measles in the United States this year, and it has been an unbelievably high number compared to years before, in multiple outbreaks like the outbreaks in Texas, New Mexico, South Carolina, etc. All of that is primarily in people who are unvaccinated or insufficiently vaccinated, say they got one dose instead of two. And only rarely is it in somebody that was fully vaccinated. We're talking about onesies and twosies in fully vaccinated people, and they had underlying reasons why it didn't work. Right, the vaccine didn't take, and that's really incredibly serious, especially when you realize that we've had that vaccines have and continue to be the most effective public health measure ever introduced. And quite frankly, Bob, I think that we are starting to do things in the United States that is exactly the opposite of what is in our best interest, right? And this is clearly one of the things that we are simply reducing all the gains that we made in the 20th century. Because bear in mind, it was in the 20th century that we developed almost all, of course, there's been some here in the 21st century, but almost all of the really dramatically phenomenal reductions in childhood illnesses and deaths and morbidity and mortality from vaccines. We eradicated a disease, a horrible disease of smallpox, thanks to the vaccine, the Vaccinia vaccine. And the use of that vaccine also had kept monkeypox in check, or Mpox, rather. And now Mpox is back. And it's back in several flavors, and it's really very frightening. And quite frankly, Bob, it just boggles my mind that people have twisted and turned the data and presented this in ways that have confused people and led to this this really backward thinking.
People are certainly confused, no question about that. I almost called you over the weekend when I cut my finger on my wife's cheese grater, but you'll be happy to know I got a tetanus shot. So I'm
all
sure
right.
You approve.
I approve. Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Dr. Eileen Marty.